KNOM Profiles.
There's been a huge boom in activity off the coast of Nome, the second gold rush, people are calling it. And I was fortunate enough to speak with one of the men who started it all.
Yeah, I'm Dave Olson. I'm married to Jane Murphy, the hygienist. Everybody knows Jane. Very few people know me. So
Olson says he's been in and out of Nome since about 1981.
Typical Nome story. A lot of people stay here forever. A lot of people like us come and go and come and go. You never really leave Nome.
But there are some people who do. There's a lot of people who are now coming to Nome just in the summertime. The State Department of Natural Resources gave out 205 permits for gold mining operations just off the coast of Nome. And here's why I wanted to talk to Dave Olson.
As far as I know, I'm the first guy to put a suction dredge in the Bering Sea. You hear about a story of somebody in 1900s, but I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't think they had the technology.
Dave originally came up to help get the Nome Youth Facility going back in 1981. He had been working at the McLaughlin Youth Center.
And I became really interested in the mining history. And we had this beautiful beach. So my first summer, a disgruntled beach miner sold me a rocker box and a pan and a tub and a bucket for $75, and I started shoveling sand. And that first summer, I probably got 2 or 3 ounces using the rocker box, which was a lot of fun.
And Dave Olson then started reading some more. He ended up getting himself a suction dredge.
And it came in the fall, and I looked at it all winter.
And so he put it together and brought it to the beach.
Of course, the old-timers, the Blueberry John and Sam Kakek, the beach miner extraordinaire at the time, told me, that's not going to work. You're not going to catch the fine gold.
And what spring was that you used that suction?
That would have been 1984. The first day I was down there, it seemed like half the town walked by. Everybody was walking the beach, and what's this guy doing? And he's in that cold water because there was still ice floating around. And, are you finding anything? Well, I don't know. I haven't cleaned up. You couldn't see anything. But that first 2 hours, I got about 2 ounces.
So for some context, an ounce of gold is worth about $1,200 plus today. Back then, in 1984, an ounce of gold was about $380.
And I would do it after work, and I think I ended up that first spring with 8 or 10 ounces. And then as soon as it melted, I packed up my suction dredge. The next year,
so 1985,
I had a bigger dredge. The first one was a 5-inch. This one was a 6-inch. New technology, over and under, and just all kinds of stuff and heavy. It took hours to put it together. And built it on logs, round logs, so I could push it in the water. But the beach was frozen. I couldn't, got a inch down into the sand and ran into ice. Well, I had the thing put together. It had taken me 2 days to carry it all down by hand and get it together. And I was in my suit, so I hooked up some air and turned it around and walked it out about 10 feet, put on my mask and went down, and oh my. I was sucking in the cobble. I said, this can't be real. It just can't be real. So I shut everything off and come up. I'd only dredged for about 20 minutes, and I had about 4 ounces.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and it was oh, my. So, and about this time, Jan Kralik, Jano, everybody uh-huh. knows him as Jano, the mad Czechoslovakian. Now, he's got some stories. People should talk to Jano, especially about how he came to this country. And
that's a totally different story. But Jano, just like Dave Olson, was one of the first suction dredgers off the coast of Nome.
But anyway, he had come about this time, and we've been sharing information all through the years. And so he became involved in it. And he and I were not very smart. We didn't do any improvements at the beginning. We would put our dredge down and put it together on the beach and push it in, and just a horrible mess. But our primary focus wasn't the beach. We just did that a little bit in the spring and to make a few dollars to pay for our season out in the country.
So he and Yano had claims in creeks in the Seward Peninsula.
But we still had it to ourselves. We had it to ourselves for almost 10 years. People would ask us, are you guys doing okay now? I mean, what are you doing? Well, we're getting close. We think we're going to find it. Maybe, maybe this spring, maybe next spring. But, we'll find it someday.
And of course, you're doing.
Oh,
all
we
right.
were doing really, really, really well. So.
And so, for a few years, Dabelson and Yano kind of worked together, and they made improvements to their own respective dredges. Dave says one year they put the dredge on a trailer, which was a big improvement for them.
And then the Ohio boys, Jeff and Dave, they came up with the first best. Improvement. They put a dredge, 6-inch dredge, aluminum pontoons, not these plastic things that we were using. I mean, these things could take some abuse. But they put it on wheels and you could push it in. Got rough, tie a rope to it, yank it right out. None of this monkey motion out in the surf, none of this beating it around. And then it really took off. I mean, that didn't improve the weather windows we could work, the number of hours, all of that. But we were still primitive. The dredges still didn't have very much flotation on them. But Big Richard, the mad Irishman, he wanted to...
So let's just stop a moment here and appreciate kind of the subculture that the mining community then had. So we had Big Richard, the Mad Irishman. We had the Montana Boys. We had Sam Kakik and, of course, Blueberry John. Anyway, on to the Mad Irishman. You don't want to miss this part of the story.
And this guy was tough. For weight belt, he would wrap chains around his body, looked like bandoliers of ammunition, but they were chains. There's no way he could get out if he got in trouble, and he would just go out and wander around with this thing.
So the Mad Irishman put chains on himself and walked on the ocean floor and did his gold mining thing. But according to Dave Olson, this is where the story truly turns.
He kind of liked to go to the bars. And he kind of liked the talk. And then word got out. And, of course, then we had the mini gold rush. At this point, Yano and I had been doing this for almost 10 years. Just he and I and the Ohio boys would come up in the spring and they would work a little bit. But it wasn't too many. But when word got out of how much gold we were making, then it started the mini gold rush.
And so when would you say that was?
I think that was probably in the mid-90s, early to mid-90s.
And so Richard was talking in the bars. People started understanding how much gold you guys were getting.
Right. And and it got kind of crowded.
So, and crowded how? How many dredges were out there doing what you were doing?
Oh, there was probably... there was probably 20, 25 dredges.
And it just got to be too much. There were too many dredges out in the ocean, whereas before there were just a few people. Now it was crowded.
Guys would, without manners, would come and start dredging in your hole. And, there was fights on the beach. And most of those guys learned good manners eventually, though. But it was a mini gold rush, and people are hungry, and they've got a lot invested in it, and emotions run high. So I just quit for a while.
Which was okay, because around the year 2000, the price of gold sank.
Down to about $280.
And so at this time, there was a lot of equipment for sale, pontoons and motors and dredges, and so Dave Olson bought a lot of equipment.
And I built a really nice, nice dredge.
And Dave Olson says that about this time, a lot of other improvements came. This is where they started using hot water in wetsuits to keep themselves warm, working in the ocean.
A person could work with that nice hot water, and you squirt a little bubble bath in there when you start your dive, and you come out just fresh as a daisy, no more stink in the high heavens. And I really want to give the credit for that to Abalone Bob.
Abalone Bob. I like how every miner has kind of a name.
There was a lot of Bobs. We had No Socks Bob, who never wore socks in his boots until his feet got cold, and then he got socks. So then he was Got Socks Bob. And, yeah, there was, I mean, he just had to distinguish everybody from, you know, Macho Robert, you know, I don't want to say his real name, and then Motormouth Bob, and I don't want to say his real name because, I mean, he won't. Nothing was private with Motormouth Bob, so.
And so this was the early 2000s, and Dave Olson says the improvements just kept happening.
Yano and I were not smart enough to come up with these improvements, but when you get 30 guys out there doing it, somebody comes up with an idea, and if it works, then everybody's got the idea.
And it worked for you, so you probably didn't mind that these improvements were taking
place. Oh, I love those improvements. I love those improvements.
So Dave Olson has seen this whole evolution from the very beginning of beach mining and dredge mining off the coast of Nome. And interestingly enough, he says no one really ever comes to him for information or to learn from his experience.
And I drive around the harbor and I see a lot of things down there. And so it'll be interesting to see how some of these things work.
And so with all these new folks and them dredging, you are no longer out there.
No, I'm done. I'm done with that.
Talk about
now,
that. Why
now
is
when
that?
The price of gold goes back down to $300 and all these guys go home, you know, I'll probably try it again. And because I got some new ideas for some new stuff, you know, that I think will probably work pretty good. So.
So Dave Olson, the guy who started it all. Today, you will not find him in the ocean. You will find him at the creeks, gold mining at his claims there. For KNOM Profiles, I'm Lorelei Kinnean.
Profiles is a production of KNOM News and Public Affairs.